Number one, how many of you said yes? Come on, put your hands up if you wrote yes. Okay, that's not bad. How many of you put no? Yeah, the answer is no. There is no federal law against a man marrying his widow's sister. Well, it would be a neat trick, seeing as how in order for the guy to have a widow, he'd have to be dead. Number three, how many of you said yes, they do have a 4th of July in England? Put your hands down. How many of you said no, they don't have a 4th of July in England? Okay, the answer is yes. They do have a 4th of July in England. They have a 5th of July and a 6th of July and a 7th of July. Okay. Number four, how many of you put kerosene lamp? Let me see your hands. Put your hands up. That's it. Really? Okay, thanks. Put your hands down. How many of you put oil heater? Wood stove? Oh, okay. Okay, actually, all those answers are wrong. Yeah, you would light the match first. For maximum heat, you better light the match first. Number five, how many of you put two? Ooh, most of you. How many of you put zero? The answer is zero. Moses wasn't on the ark. That was Noah's gig. Number six. How did the Yankees and Tigers each win three games? They played different teams. Yeah, they didn't play each other. Number seven. How many birthdays does the average American female have?
One.
Very good. One. One. Number eight. How many of you put two? Yeah, this is too old, huh? How many of you put from?
You got to change.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. Oh, what do you want? Number nine. Why is he a liar?
BC.
Yeah, how would they know if it's BC? Okay. And then number 10, what color is the bear?
White.
Of course, white.
What was question number two?
North Pole.
Okay. If a man builds a house and all the walls have a southern exposure, there's one place on Earth that he can build that's the North Pole. Only one kind of bear inhabits the North Pole. That's polar bears. All polar bears are white. So we all can use a little help in listening. What do you think?
What was number two?
Oh, you think that international law, to and from was old, where you bury survivors? Check this one out. Number two is, if you went to bed at 8 o'clock and set the alarm for 9 o'clock, how many hours of sleep would you get?
One.
The answer is one, but that's because those were the old, they didn't have AM and PM on the clocks. Okay. Go to your homework page, please. Number one, active listening. Active listening. This is the first skill I want you to put through that four-step process of acquiring a habit or a skill, active listening. This is the first skill. Because once you master the art of active listening, I know for a fact you're going to write more customers up, for sure. And you're going to see that in the first 30 days. So what is active listening? There are four elements to active listening. Oh, incidentally, for those of you who are managers and for those of you who are leaders on the floor, it is not enough just to disseminate information. We get paid to influence people, which means we have to modify adult behavior. 1 out of 10 adults can read a book or listen to a lecture and assimilate the information adequately enough to act on it. Only 1 out of 10. The vast majority of us not only have to be exposed to the information, we have to witness it in action and experience it ourselves firsthand before any change occurs. And knowledge for knowledge's sake is actually obscene in my world. Don't have to come to my world, but in my world, it is an obscenity. Nothing happens without action. Okay? I want you to act on active listening. But here's how you do that. There are four elements to active listening. The first is attentive body language. The second is verbal attends. The third element is leading questions. And last is restate. Attentive body language, verbal attends, leading questions, and restate. By attentive body language, I mean open posture, leaning slightly forward, a smile on your face, head nods, eye contact.
The eye contact.
Well, let's, Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You can always tell when someone just came back from a workshop because they give you like this unblinking lizard stare. You know, that's not good eye contact. Good eye contact is matching or mirroring what your customer is doing. Okay, attentive body language. Oh, verbal attends. I couldn't remember verbal attends for quite a while, so I used to call it grunts. And that's just, uh-huh, okay, sure, yeah. No, get at it, really? Just basically letting the guy know, I'm with you, buddy. Leading questions, but for those of us who've been in the business more than a decade, it's something different than what we were first taught. Leading questions is not Socratic selling. Leading questions, in this instance, is helping the customer completely express their concern, their question, their objection, or letting the customer know that you're keenly interested. Give me more information. And then the last one is restate, which is just basically paraphrasing back to the customer what they said to you. How many of you are already restating back to your customers? Let me see your hands. Okay, for those of you who aren't, I strongly recommend that you start doing that now. That's something easy to do. When we restate back to our customer what they said to us, and I'm not talking parroting, although that has its place in crisis management, but I'm talking about paraphrasing back. What it does is eliminates any misunderstanding. It allows the customer to understand that we really were listening to them, pacing their need to be valued and understood. And there's one other benefit to restating. In order to restate, what must we first do?
Listen.
What a concept. How many of us believe that buyers are liars? That is healthy. That is healthy. How many of you believe that if the customer's mouth is moving, they're lying? That's not healthy. That is not healthy. Now, I'm being very serious. If we think that every word that comes out of our customer's mouth is a lie, human nature will dictate that eventually you will hold your customer in contempt. And two things are going to happen. It's either going to kill your paycheck or get you out of the customer service business. First, do you think your customers know whether or not you hold them in contempt?
Yes.
Let me ask you this, for those of you who aren't sure. How many of you have been in front of somebody who you just know doesn't like you? Can you feel it? You can feel it, huh? How many of you know that dogs and horses and people can sense fear? How many of you know that? Okay, see, this is not theory. This is the real deal. If we condition ourselves to think that customers are always lying no matter what they say, the net result is contempt, and that contempt will cost us sales, will impede our ability to serve our customer. So, for what it's worth, let me toss that up to you. In between all those defensive lies, by the way, you know what else your customer will tell you? Here's how you close me. Here's how you gross me. Here's how you put me out of my misery. That's why listening is so important.
Active listening is usually the first thing I ask everyone to take through that four-step process to acquiring a new skill or habit that I mentioned at the beginning of this program. Mainly because active listening is one of those rare skills that makes us more effective in almost all areas of our lives, both personally and professionally. It'll help us become better salespeople, managers, better parents, husbands or wives, brothers or sisters, better friends, etc. Everyone loves to talk about their successes, their passions, their likes or dislikes. As a matter of fact, I bet you that our favorite people or best friends are also those people who are usually willing to give us a sympathetic ear. Again, our customers don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And we show them how much we care when we use the occasional head nod, when we smile, lean slightly forward, use good eye contact, when we avoid
leaning slightly forward. These are all cues when combined, subconsciously let the customer know that you're interested in them. Okay? There's very little I remember about second grade. First is Mrs. Glazer's face. Stone fox. Second thing is this book that I ordered called Girl Talk. And one of the things, thank goodness I learned this in second grade, and I'm so blessed because it really has helped me become more effective in any arena, in every arena. What I learned was, and it said this way, to be interesting, be interested. Hey, you know, I got it in second grade, and it's true. If you want to be an interesting person, there are times I'm in arenas where I'm speaking with other people. When I was researching this other book, Prescription for Passion, I was in circles of multimillionaires, CEOs, heads of state, government officials, education leaders, and I'm sitting here with, you know, a professional athlete, a CEO of a medical company, a couple other people, and I'm just, you know, some teacher. I'm a car guy. What am I going to share? There's no wisdom coming out of my face with these guys, so I just listen. Okay, yeah. What do you mean by that? How? And that's all I'm doing is just active listening. Time and time again, I get comments about what a great conversationalist I am. All it was just grunts. Okay. Sure. Man, this guy, what a conversationalist. People love to talk. Let them. And that's what active listening allows them to do, is talk about themselves. Physiology is one cue to let them know. Verbal attends, again, are just the grunts to let the guy auditorily know that you're with him. That's all. 55, 38. You're just stacking the deck in your favor. All I'm trying to do is get you to feel comfortable. That's it. That's my intent, to get you to feel comfortable. I know that if I'm interested in you, you're going to find me interesting. And I'm in customer service, so I got to be a nice person to hang out with. Comes in handy if you're in customer service. That's what verbal attends are. Leading questions are to get, when the conversation wanes, you use open-ended questions to, again, get the guy to talk more or gal to talk more. And then restate is just paraphrasing back, just proving to the customer, guess what? I care enough about you to actually listen. That's how active listening works.
You know what happened with us? We had, I actually took over his conversation. I mean, it was like, he ended up kind of not speaking a lot, so I started asking questions and he ended up taking over the conversation.
Yeah, there are, that's a good point. There are points where you want to find common ground and let them know that you're into music too. I was in a group in the back there where the guy was talking about how he used to sing. I was a music major in college, so, and don't ask me how I got here. It's a movie. But the natural inclination is to go, music, yeah, I love music too. I was a music major, I did orchestration. You start going and you start talking because you're trying to build common ground. You can ask questions to get the person to talk and let them know that you have common ground. Did you take orchestration? You're a baritone, I betcha. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am a baritone. Would that let you know that I know about singing? But I'm asking you questions, right? Be careful. You want him to use the word I more than you use the word I. Good point, Teresa. Was active listening a little bit more clear now that I reviewed it? Good. Okay.